All right, everybody, welcome to the Monday edition of the Locked On NHL podcast. I am Gil Martin, pleased to be sitting in for Sarah Avampato here on the Locked On NHL podcast as we talk everything happening around the league on this busy Monday. And we have three great guests to welcome in today. First, we are joined by Robin Liagno of Locked On Arizona Coyotes, discussing the sudden crisis that this franchise has as a result of the fact that 2021-2022 will be the last year that they'll be playing in their home arena. They need to find a new home ASAP. Then we have a great exclusive interview with the hosts of Locked On Sharks, Kyle Demetrius and J.D. Young, as they welcome in a great guest, and that is top Sharks prospect Thomas Bordeleau, now of the University of Michigan. We have a great excerpt from that interview, and of course you can hear the complete interview at Locked On Sharks. And then of course John Chick of Locked On New York Rangers joins us to discuss the retirement of Henrik Lundqvist and his legacy, both with the New York Rangers and in the National Hockey League. So first, Robin Liagno joins us to discuss the Arizona Coyotes and their arena situation. And right now, I'd like to welcome to the show Robin Liagno, who is the host of Locked On Coyotes. And Robin, thanks so much for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
Crazy times right now for your hockey team. A lot of arena questions arising. Why don't you fill in our listeners on the latest as to where the Coyotes will be playing after the 2021-2022 season?
Well, that's going to be a lot of unknowns on that. Obviously, right now there was the report that the city of Glendale does not want the Coyotes to play in Gila River Arena any longer after next season. So there are a lot of questions in where they're played. Like, everybody and their mother has put out, hey, how you should play in this arena or this arena. There are so many options for them. I mean, I've been looking at several of them to see what are options, and there are some viable ones. But also not a lot of options. There are not a lot of options for them, and they have to figure it out soon, because we'll figure out they have an arena plan. They're putting a proposal in for Tempe, but that's obviously years from now, which they need to find a bridge gap. Still on a lot of unknowns about that.
Now, one of the things that I noticed you tweeted was, you know, the team's future remains in the desert, and it seems that Gary Bettman is committed to that. So that has to be encouraging for Coyotes fans.
Yeah, it very much is. And I really wanted to, drive that point home to as many people as possible, those who follow me, those who maybe don't but need to hear it again, is they won't be leaving Arizona anytime soon. And despite everyone who wants them to go to Quebec or Houston or whatever, it's not happening. It is reassuring for Coyotes fans here to know that the Coyotes have future plans here in the state of Arizona.
So what are some of the interim or temporary places that the Coyotes could play in? And do you have a particular hunch or insight into what the favorites are?
So the most popular arena that has been thrown out is called the Madhouse on McDowell, or I mean that's its nickname. It's the Arizona Veterans Memorial Coliseum. It's near, just really close to downtown, and it's a pretty good, yeah, it's a pretty decent option for them. It's smaller. It's about 13,000 fans. It doesn't have any luxury seats, but it's housed hockey before. It had the Phoenix Roadrunners, all the iterations of the Phoenix Roadrunners in the past, in the 90s, 80s. So we know it can hold hockey. It's just so old that it would definitely need a lot of renovations. Some people have even put out Chase Field, where the Arizona Diamondbacks baseball team plays.
Wow.
I put out a couple of the arenas from Arizona State, which probably won't happen just because it's not Lots of scheduling conflicts would probably happen from that. Footprint Arena has been named, and I want to say that that's not going to happen. Robert Sarver, owner of the Phoenix Suns, doesn't want their relationship with the Coyotes. Yeah, I think he said it before. It's as much as it could be cool to have the Coyotes back in downtown Phoenix, that's also probably not going to happen. Tucson Arena has also been thrown out there. I'll let people know Coyotes aren't coming down to Tucson. It's just not possible.
Why is it not possible?
The Tucson Arena, obviously, so it's the only hockey rink in Tucson. I live down here, so I can say I can pretty much confirm that. And the Roadrunners play here. They're a minor league team. It's right. Small. It only holds about 65 to 6,700 people. It's for those who are unfamiliar with the state of Arizona, Tucson is 100 miles from downtown Phoenix. So it's about a two-hour drive. For the Coyotes, had to commute every freaking day to go to games. It just won't be worth it. I mean, that'd be cool for me because I could just wake up from an early, like, you know, afternoon nap and just head to the arena. I mean, like I do for Roadrunners games, I wouldn't complain.
Right. But unlikely to happen. Do you think all of this turmoil will have any effect on the Coyotes' on-ice performance this coming season?
It's hard to say because this Coyotes team is committed to a rebuild right now. So they're going to be losing a lot of games already as it is. Based off all the moves that they made, it definitely seems that the trajectory that's going. So like, and I think that's why these smaller arenas would be okay, just because, well, they're not going to sell a lot of seats and a lot of motivation won't be there. It's going to be a down year for the Coyotes, and like already as it is, we already know that.
Your prediction, if I had to put you on the spot, where do they end up?
In the division, and they probably end up finishing last in the central division.
Okay, but I meant as far as a new home, where do you think?
Oh, new home. I think that the Veterans Coliseum is the most likely, based off all the reasons. It's got the highest capacity out of all of them. Over 13,000. It's, you know, a architectural icon in Arizona, at least in the Phoenix area. And like I said, it's historic. It's had hockey in the past.
Give me something to close out here. Give me a reason Coyotes fans have for optimism this season. Give me the thing that has happened this offseason that gives you the most hope for the future of this franchise.
I mean, I can't say anything about their performance wise, but I'll tell you this, that that based off of the moves that GM Bill Armstrong is making, getting as many draft picks as they can for these upcoming really strong drafts, is there could be a likelihood that Shane Wright is within sights for the Arizona Coyotes. And those who've been following prospects know that everyone wants this guy, and Coyotes can get him, that he will set up the future of the franchise easily.
All right. That is good news for Coyotes fans. Robin, why don't you tell our listeners where they can find you on social media and where they can find your podcast?
Yeah, you can find me at RobLiagno1. You'll find me tweeting a lot of Coyote stuff, a lot of other random stuff about any other sports out there. You can find us at Locked On Coyotes at LO_Coyotes. And I'll be tweeting as many updates as we can about the Coyotes upcoming season, as well as upcoming arena prospects coming up there. And of course, the Coyotes podcast, anywhere you can find your podcasts.
All right, Robin Liagno, thank you so much for joining us here on the Locked On NHL podcast.
Yeah, thanks again.
Hockey fans, today's episode is brought to you by your friends at BetOnline. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Baseball season is in full swing, and you can track all the action at BetOnline. Soccer is also going on. You got golf and, of course, preseason NFL action. Get all the latest news, odds, and info for all your sporting needs, including MLB, NBA, NHL, NFL, and all your UFC MMA action. Before the next pitch, head over to BetOnline on your laptop or mobile device and check out all the great sporting news, sign-up bonuses, and contest information. Don't sit on the sidelines any longer. This is your chance to get into the game as teams prep for their runs to the playoffs. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit when you use the promo code LOCKEDON. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Next up, we have an excerpt from a great interview done by Kyle Demetrius and J.D. Young with San Jose Sharks prospect Thomas Bortolo, the University of Michigan star. And again, for the complete interview, you can head over to Locked On Sharks and listen to it all.
What's up, everyone? Welcome back to Locked On Sharks, your daily source of everything Team San Jose. I'm not going to do any of the dumb preamble because we have one of our biggest guests. I can't say biggest guest anymore because I don't know how to rank everybody that comes on the show at this point. I feel like it's unfair to the previous guests. Biggest guest in August 2021. That's what we'll say. I'm your host, Kyle Demetrius. Back with me as always is JD. Eric is still missing in action. But today, we have possibly the first non-Sharks org interview with University of Michigan standout and number three prospect in the Sharks org, Thomas Bortolo. I put you behind William Eklund. Is that okay?
Yeah, it's fine.
he's the new hotness. I couldn't put you ahead of him yet. But you had an unreal dev camp and you were centering that top line, so to speak, with him. What was it like getting that assignment, and what was it like being the go-to center on one of the teams?
It was fun. You know, obviously we had 5 lines on that team, you know, so we were just, getting to know each other off the ice, on the ice, you know, all the guys just practicing all week, and then the game was fun. That's for sure. But I think it was just a fun experience, you know, kind of first time stepping on the ice at the SAP Center, and it was just a fun experience overall, so I'm pretty happy about that.
How's your Swedish?
Really bad.
how's his English, though? Did you guys just yell at each other in English on the ice?
It's pretty good, yeah, honestly. Obviously he has an accent, sometimes has trouble, I'm getting sentences out, but, he's actually really good, honestly. A lot of people would be like, oh, he has an accent or whatever, but not a lot of Americans can speak 2 languages. So, yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Let's talk about you, though. This isn't the William Eklund podcast. I always like to start interviews with, how old were you when you knew that you had a chance to go to the NHL? you can brag. You can be like, I was 5. It doesn't matter.
No, honestly. It's a good question. Maybe the first time I was like, okay, maybe I'm pretty good was when I played underage at 4. I was 14 years old and I played underage at Major AAA. So mm-hmm. when I made that jump, some guys that did this before me, like Joe Valeno, like Sam Pullen with Pittsburgh and stuff like that. So, you know, I was like, okay, maybe I have something a little bit like them. So we'll see where that takes me. So that's probably when I was kind of like, okay, maybe I have a chance, you know.
With your hockey bloodlines, I don't know, that's so cliche. Was it always in the back of your mind, though, as a little kid? Like, you have extra training, you have access to stuff. Was it always a goal of yours to make the NHL, or were you just playing hockey for fun as a little kid?
No, I was just playing hockey for fun, honestly, because it was just, I don't know, hockey's always been my life. During the weekends, it was dad's going to play his games, I'm going to play mine, you know? Like, it was just, that's how it was in Switzerland. And when my dad retired, it just kept going in Canada. And yeah, I think it was just, I guess in my blood, you could say, because, you know, I've just grew up in hockey rinks and I put the skates on when I was 2 years old. And it was, I've just always been a part of that. So for me, it was basically a no-brainer. I've never really asked myself the question, like, why am I playing hockey? It's just normal.
I mean, that's probably not a question you want to ask yourself at 20. This point, you got drafted in the second round. You're going to the Sharks. You're going back to Michigan. Are you going back to Michigan? Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Well, we don't know.
We were hoping maybe to exclusive, like, announcement. But so
if I would not be coming back, the guys in my house right now would be pissed because I'm still on the lease.
Yeah.
Well, you'd be getting that
okay.
NHL money.
You get that Sharks money. Yeah. So kind of talk about the guys in Michigan. So you have four guys who got drafted in the top five who are going to Michigan between Powers, Kent Johnson, Hughes, and Beniers. But you were like the rookie of the year. So do you have like, even though they were all drafted in the top five, do you still have the bragging rights just because you're like, hey, even though, I was literally the rookie of the year last year in the NCAA.
Obviously we all, I mean, except Luke, because he wasn't here, but
yeah.
Kent, Owen, Maddie, we all had great freshman season, even Briss, they don't mention Brandon Brisson enough, I feel like, but we all had great seasons, and not just us, but so like I think it's crazy how people underrate our juniors and our seniors that our juniors last year are going to be seniors this year, and even our sophomores. Like we have a hell of a team, and honestly, it's not even close to be just the freshmen. And it's just fun to be a part of that. Like I'm so proud of those guys. I mean, obviously, we knew they were going to go high, but how it turned out, it was pretty fun. So it's just some extra fun to have after that. We're having a lot of fun on the ice, but seeing those guys get drafted, me getting rookie of the year, it's just candy at the end. And we like to talk about it, but it's not really in our head most of the time.
The goal for you guys, especially with COVID ending your season, is definitely national title, right? That's the only goal you guys have this year.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, I think even if we didn't have the team that we have, like, I feel like if you don't start the season saying, I want to win it all, like, what's the point of playing,
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, fair enough. What's your role with such a loaded team? What's your role going to be in Michigan this year?
Basically kind of the same as last year, I'm pretty sure. Center, I don't think we have a first line, because we're so packed. So I'm probably, I hope I'm gonna have the chance to play with Briss again. I know our coach loves his duos, so he usually likes to keep two guys together and
smart man,
change the other guy. Or so I'm if it goes like last year, I might be playing with Briss still. Maddie's gonna play with Kent. And some of the juniors and sophomores and the seniors, they have their own duos too. So, might be that, definitely, the power play, the PK, just taking faceoffs, important faceoffs, and yeah, just helping the team win however I can, I'm a pretty versatile player, and coach knows it. So I can do pretty much whatever he wants.
What's the biggest thing you want to work on this year at Michigan? To get you ready for when you eventually make the jump to the Sharks?
My shots in between the dots, like kind of just attacking the middle more, kind of being more of a shooting threat all the time. So yeah.
What's your favorite thing to do on the ice? Facilitate, score, play defense for some reason?
It's okay. Defense is for nerds.
Honestly, it sounds weird, but for me, game is not as like, I feel like a game for me is not a game if I don't take any faceoffs. So I really like that.
The Sharks probably like hearing that you want to take faceoffs because there's no centers in the pipeline.
Yeah. But yeah, I love taking faceoffs. Obviously love creating stuff on the ice in the ozone. You got to play the defense, but the fun's in the ozone. So that's what makes it so much more fun too, like playing with guys like Briss, like Kent, like Maddie, like all the other guys on my team. Like it makes it so much fun because you can find each other easily, and it just the creativeness is really there.
Today's episode is also brought to you by your friends at Built Bar. Do you know that Built Bar has so many delicious flavors? There really is something for everyone. When you talk to a Built Bar fan, they're definitely passionate about their favorites. And well, here's why. Listen to some of these great flavors. Coconut, salted caramel, German chocolate, mint brownie, cookies and cream, which is my personal favorite. If you haven't tried all the flavors, you can get a mixed box where you get two of each of the nine flavors. And not only are Built Bar flavors the best tasting, but they're healthy too. Check out these macros. Each bar has 17 to 18 grams of protein. Calories range from just 130 to 180. You have only 4 or 5 grams of sugar and only 4 or 5 grams of net carbs. All amazing flavors, tasty, all healthy. And Built Bar is also the official protein bar of the U.S. track and field team. Go to Built.com right now. Use the promo code LOCKED15. You'll get 15% off your order. That's promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at Built.com. And now, finally, we are joined by John Chick of Locked On New York Rangers to talk about the retirement of the King, Henrik Lundqvist. And right now, it's my pleasure to welcome in the host of Locked On New York Rangers, John Chick, to talk about Henrik Lundqvist, who just announced his retirement earlier this week. And John, how are you today?
Gil, I'm doing great. Thanks for having me, man. Happy to be here. Happy to talk about the King. And just kind of keeping my fingers crossed over here in Connecticut that this tropical storm kind of stays where it's at, doesn't get too much heavier than it is right now.
Yeah, we're having the same issues here on Long Island with the tropical storm, but hopefully everything stays relatively calm and everybody will be safe and okay out there. Henrik Lundqvist announcing his retirement for the New York Rangers. I mean, to me, certainly the best goalie in Rangers history, and if not, got to be in the top two or three. How do you assess the legacy of Henrik Lundqvist?
It's so hard to know where to begin, and I've kind of gone through that same challenge, you know, recording my show and doing some episodes on Henrik Lundqvist here over these past couple of days. Got a couple of Henrik Lundqvist on the docket here for this next week coming up. But yeah, I think, you know, the biggest compliment that I can give to Henrik Lundqvist is that as a Ranger fan, you always kind of, he was just such a calming influence on you. And, you know, going into like a playoff series, and I realize, you know, Henrik Lundqvist never got to lift the cup, and I'm sure we'll talk about that in due time here as well. But you always just kind of had this feeling, no matter who the Rangers were going against, no matter how their team was put together, you know, how much better the other team might have been in the regular season than the Rangers, you always had this feeling of, yeah, but we got Henrik Lundqvist. And it was just always just kind of this safety net that the Rangers had. And it truly made you feel that the Rangers could win any game, regular season or playoffs, could defeat any team in a playoff series, and that he was just going to be the backbone of this team. I mean, it's just wild to me. The thing that I keep going back to also is the fact that, you know, he was a seventh-round draft pick and, you know, went 200-and-something overall. I forget the exact number, but I do remember there were 21 goalies drafted in front of him that season, which just boggles your mind, and it just makes you wonder, like, how could somebody this talented become so much of a diamond in the rough to the point that all these teams, including the Rangers, just pass on him over and over and over, and he just falls to the Rangers in the seventh round, and, you know, lo and behold, 15 years later here, it's just absolutely wild the kind of career that he put together. I mean, one of the all-time greats, a slam dunk Hall of Famer, no doubt. I'm definitely looking forward to seeing his jersey, you know, go up into the rafters this upcoming season at Madison Square Garden. I hope that, you know, a lot of his longtime teammates are able to attend that event because I think it's going to be wonderful. And yeah, man, I'm just really, really going to miss him. You know, I remember on Friday when he announced that he was going to be retiring, you know, Gil, I think you can probably relate to this. When you host one of these Locked On shows, one of the first couple of things that you do is you know, when you wake up, you check Twitter, you check social media. What's going on with my team today? What can I talk about? What can I build the episode around? And I see, of course, that Henrik Lundqvist has announced his retirement. And, you know, I just kind of smiled because I've been kind of thinking up all these crazy scenarios on here, like where maybe Henrik Lundqvist can come back and sign on with a team like the Lightning or the Avalanche, maybe try to go get a Stanley Cup, maybe come back to the Rangers for one more season and give him a proper send-off. But I had a very same sentiment that the King himself had. And, you know, he said that in his release that he gave to the fans. It's just that it's time. You know, he's given everything that he's had to this game, and I don't think he owes the game of hockey any more than he gave, and it is unfortunate that he never won the Stanley Cup, but man, it was just an absolute joy to watch him for as long as I did, 15 years. I mean, it's just absolutely crazy to think about.
You know, I think back to when Henrik Lundqvist first joined the Rangers back in 2005, 2006. We're coming off a season that was completely lost to the lockout. And the Rangers in the year before that lockout were not very good, were an older team, no expectations by the end of that season. They were trading away, you know, franchise players like Brian Leetch and just, you know, the franchise was in a bad place at that point. And nobody necessarily even expected Henrik Lundqvist to start in goal. And yet in his rookie NHL season, he really quickly made an impact on that franchise.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, it's unfortunate because, you know, I was away at college while all that was happening. And, you know, I was out of state, was kind of away from the New York market. So I didn't really get to see a whole lot of the Rangers that year. But, you know, my parents are big Ranger fans. And we would always talk to each other about that on the phone and what's going on. And, you know, I remember my parents mentioning, like, this guy, Henrik Lundqvist, he's playing goalie and, you know, he's taken over for Kevin Weeks and he's really doing a great job. And, you know, I was able to at least watch their playoff series that year. You know, it was against the New Jersey Devils and the Rangers got swept, unfortunately. But yeah, Gil, I mean, you hit the nail on the head there. That Ranger team, had very, very low expectations going into that season. I remember seeing power rankings that had them dead last. And, you know, a while back I had Jason Strudwick. He was a member of that team. I had him on the podcast and he kind of said that they were galvanized, that it was basically just this team of rejects, basically. And they all just kind of rallied around that concept and definitely overachieved. But you're seeing Henrik Lundqvist go out there and just stand on his head every single night. And it's just like, who is this guy? Like, where did he come from? And can he keep this going, you know, year in and year out going forward? Or is he just kind of a flash in the pan and somebody who's playing over his head right now? And, you know, 15 years later, I think we know that it was definitely the former. Henrik Lundqvist, that was no joke. I mean, that was the real deal right out of the starting gates there. And, you know, something that I think a lot of people may not realize, and, you know, it only hit me just a couple of days ago, really. But, I mean, Henrik Lundqvist is a seventh-round draft pick, and he's only going to get so much rope. You know, if you're a seventh-round draft pick and you just absolutely struggle and scuffle your first 10 games in the NHL and you've got a goals against average of, like, 3.9 or something like that, you may not get another chance. So, you know, he just hit the ground running, took the bull by the horns, took advantage of the opportunity, and, you know, here we are again 15 years later. And I mean, what can you say? Just an absolutely legendary career.
You know, the other thing about Henrik Lundqvist, he was so good on the ice, and yet he also really fit in well in New York off the ice with his fashion sense and the way he went about carrying himself. Talk a little bit about what Henrik Lundqvist meant in the community and to the New York culture over the last decade and a half.
Yeah, I mean, I think he fit like a glove. I think you hit the nail on the head there, Gil. I mean, he really just kind of came in and, you know, New York City, you're always under the magnifying glass with any professional sports team, whether it's the Rangers, whether it's the Islanders, whether it's any of the football teams, the baseball teams, whatever it might be. And to be the goalie for the New York Rangers, there's obviously a lot of pressure that comes with that. And it's funny because, you know, he was always such an intense competitor on the ice, but I always felt like he was kind of the opposite off the ice. Like even as soon as like the post game, you know, press conference or whatever it might be when he's being interviewed in the locker room, I felt like he could kind of turn the switch off and just kind of be Henrik Lundqvist and be that guy who's kind of as cool as the other side of the pillow. So it was just always very interesting for me to see, you know, how intense he was on the ice, but how he always managed to remain really cool, calm, and collected away from the ice and not let the noise of playing pro sports in New York City distract him and, you know, keep him from doing the things that he needs to do. And, you know, like you said, I mean, he fit like a glove. It would have been interesting to see him play somewhere else, I guess somewhat selfishly. It's nice that he only played for the New York Rangers, but even that's kind of bittersweet because I know, you know, full well, you know, he obviously signed with the Capitals this past offseason and he wanted to continue his hockey career. And unfortunately, just didn't get the opportunity to do that for reasons beyond his control. But yeah, I mean, he was the man in New York City for a very, very long time. And I think he just handled himself about as well as any professional athlete can handle themselves playing in New York City for as long as he did.
Talk to me about his style. What made him such an effective goaltender?
Well, I mean, we'll be here for a long time, but I think more than anything, you know, one of his skills that stood out to me about as well or better than anything is just how good he was against the breakaway. And whether it was, you know, just a one-on-one breakaway, whether there was a penalty shot award in a game, whether it was, you know, a shootout, he was so good at just not overly committing to the skater who was coming in. He always made the skater make that first move. He would basically just stand there like a statue, like, no, I'm not going to flinch. I'm not going to give you anything. And he would always turn that shot away. So I think of everything he did out there, that stood out more than anything. And also his lateral movement. I mean, the way he could get from one side of the net to the other in like the blink of an eye, some of these split saves that he made. I mean, it hurts me just to watch it. And, you know, I mean, some of these unbelievable skate saves that he would make. And I think just the intangibles, you know, in the playoffs, I felt like as good as he was in the regular season, he would always take his game to another level come playoff time. The moment never got too big for him, and he kind of thrived when the pressure was at its best. I think, you know, for a lot of Ranger fans, myself included, to me, his crowning achievement as far as what he did in the postseason are those 2-3-1 series comeback wins in back-to-back seasons with the Penguins and then with the Capitals. Rangers falling into 3-1 series holes, and they come back and win it both times. And if you go back and watch Game 7 against the Penguins, I mean, he is just on another level. He is just a human cheat code out there. The Rangers had a couple of defensive lapses in the third period. And I swear to God, man, that game could have gone six periods. He was not going to let another puck get by him. He was going to make sure the Rangers held on to that 2-1 win and go to the Eastern Conference Finals there.
You mentioned he never did quite win a Stanley Cup. The closest he came, 2014, when he led the Rangers to the Stanley Cup final, only to fall in five games to the LA Kings. Talk about that playoff run and what Henrik Lundqvist meant to the team.
Yeah, it was unbelievable. And it kind of felt like, I hate to use that term, team of destiny, because I think it's just so cliche. But as a Ranger fan that season, it just felt like all the pieces were coming together. I mean, the way they rallied around Marty St. Louis in that second round matchup against the Pittsburgh Penguins, when, you know, he unexpectedly lost his mom. You know, St. Louis scores the goal on Mother's Day. Henrik Lundqvist goes out there and puts on an absolute clinic in Game 7, and they beat the Penguins, and then you play the Montreal Canadiens, and, you know, they beat the Canadiens in six games that season, and, you know, Lundqvist stands on his head again, a shutout in Game 6 at home in Madison Square Garden. It really felt like they were going to go in there against the Kings and win that Stanley Cup that season. Unfortunately, it wasn't meant to be, but it was through no fault of Henrik Lundqvist. I mean, I thought he was at his absolute best throughout that entire playoff run. And, you know, it's very easy to look back on that series against the Kings and think like, oh, well, you know, the Kings beat them in five games. It wasn't really that competitive a series. And nothing could be further from the truth, because games 1, 2, and 5 all went into overtime. And unfortunately, the Rangers were 0-3 in those three games. So that kind of spelled the end. But yeah, you know, you go back and you look at it and, you know, your mind kind of plays tricks on you a little bit. It's like, you know, game two, had they at least won one of those two games in Los Angeles to start the series, and you go back to New York and the series is tied at 1 instead of the Rangers being down 2-0, maybe the whole series takes on a different kind of dynamic. Or maybe that doesn't happen, but maybe the Rangers win game 5 in overtime in Los Angeles. Well, now the series is 3-2 and you're going back to New York, and I'm sure Madison Square Garden would have been absolutely rocking that night. And it's like, man, can this team do the impossible? Can they come back from 3-0 on this Los Angeles Kings team? And, you know, we get to celebrate with Henrik Lundqvist raising the Stanley Cup over his head. But I mean, he was just unbelievable in that playoff series and, or that playoff run, excuse me. And it's one of those things, like, I don't often go back and watch full games from, like, seasons past of the NHL, but if I was ever going to make an exception, I think some games out of that 2014 run to the Stanley Cup Finals would probably be it. And I would just, you know, I might even have to do that tonight, Gil. I might have to pop on Game 7 of Rangers-Penguins and just kind of watch the King do his thing, you know what I mean?
Absolutely. What do you think, looking back, let's say 10 years from now, will be the legacy of Henrik Lundqvist in New York Rangers history and NHL history?
I mean, he's up there. He's up there with one of the all-time greats. I love the fact that the Rangers didn't mess around at all. They announced, I mean, basically, I think it was like an hour after Lundqvist announced his retirement, they were like, yeah, well, we're going to play his jersey in the rafters this upcoming season. So, like I said, I'm definitely looking forward to that. I think people are just going to look back at him and smile. You know, he's somebody that, like you mentioned, Gil, was a class act on and off the ice. He does just amazing work with the Garden of Dreams Foundation and with his own Henrik Lundqvist Foundation. And, you know, somebody who was, I think, always a great teammate. Something that we talked about, Gil, when we did a crossover of Rangers and Islanders was, you look at some of the backup goalies that Henrik Lundqvist had over the years, and I felt like he always had a really good relationship with them. And then you look at guys like Cam Talbot and Antti Raanta, and I realize, you know, they both had their ups and downs through their NHL career, and they both kind of battled some injury issues, but they both go on to become, you know, rock solid starting goalies in this league. And they did that after first kind of being under the tutelage of Henrik Lundqvist. And, you know, you look at Kevin Weeks. Now, Kevin Weeks was the starter that season, and Henrik Lundqvist basically replaced him, you know, fairly early in that season, and the rest is history. But to this day, I mean, Henrik Lundqvist and Kevin Weeks, still have a great relationship. And, you know, Henrik Lundqvist does that sit down interview not that long ago, and he chooses to do it with Kevin Weeks. I'm sure there are sports reporters all over the world that would have been lining up to do that interview with Henrik Lundqvist. And he does it with his, you know, former teammate Kevin Weeks there. So again, just a class act on and off the ice. Very, very bittersweet to know that, you know, he's not going to get that Stanley Cup. But again, that guy left every ounce of himself on that hockey rink every single night, every ounce of his blood, sweat, and tears, did it all the way up until literally, you know, his heart couldn't take it anymore, basically. And, you know, all the best to Henrik Lundqvist. I think health, safety, family, all that stuff comes before hockey. And as much as I would have liked to have seen him come back for one more season, have one more shot at the Stanley Cup, maybe even come back to the Rangers for one more season as Igor Shesterkin's backup and get a proper send-off, it feels like it's the right time for him to say goodbye to the game. And, you know, again, all the best to him. I wish him absolutely nothing but the best.
Absolutely. John, why don't you let our listeners know where they could find you on social media and where they could find your podcast?
Yeah, so you can find me at jcheck17, and then you can find the podcast handle at LO_NY_Rangers, and the podcast is available wherever you get your podcasts, and we do this thing every day. You know, it's August now, so we're down to 3 episodes per week, but once the season starts, it's going to be 5 days a week, and should be a lot of fun. Definitely looking forward to seeing what the Rangers can do this season.
Likewise, John Chick, thanks so much for joining us here on Locked On NHL.
Hey, you got it, Gil. Thanks for having me, man. We'll have to do this again soon.
All right, that's going to do it for us today. Want to thank our guest, Robin Lienio, who talked about the Arizona Coyotes, J.D. Young, and Kyle Demetrius, who interviewed Thomas Bortolo, and we have a great excerpt from that interview. And of course, John Chick of Locked On New York Rangers talking about Henrik Lundqvist, the King, at the announcement of his retirement. And we all certainly wish Henrik well as he battles for his health. That's going to do it for this show. I am Gil Martin. I want to thank Sarah Avampato once again. It was a pleasure to be in for her, and I hope she's enjoying her time off here in August. And we'll be back next Monday with more of the greatest stories from around the NHL right here on the Locked On NHL podcast. You could follow the podcast at Locked On NHL Pod. And of course, you could follow me at Ice Wars NYR VSNYI, and you can listen to me on the Locked On Islanders podcast, which I do here all the time on the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Have a great week, everyone. I'll be back next Monday with more of the Locked On NHL podcast.